It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Curse from Jason Wilde. Every day of the year, you go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and there's a big thing. Jason Wilde, you hit it and just learn more about the Packers from all the things he says on 85 million shows. It's that easy. Fill your day and you'll be smarter. Good afternoon. Good evening, Jason.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to any of the important parties involved regarding the Green Bay Packers, any or all of them, and what they have said of note that you want to pass along.
Well, I think we probably need to start with Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, or the MMQB, reporting that the Jets have now asked for permission, which the Packers have to grant. It's not like it's really asking. It's just informing them that they want to talk to Jeff Hafley for their head coaching job.
Are you surprised?
I'm not. I'm not at all, but I think it's really interesting. And if I were him, I wouldn't go anywhere near the Jets. Nothing good seems to come out of New York for that organization, so I'm not interested in it, but it certainly is interesting, right?
Yes, I think both your particular points. If I'm Hafley, I don't know. I'd have to believe that I'm going to get other opportunities. If I do, then I wouldn't be interested. If I'm not sure how many opportunities I'll get, I'm jumping on any team that's interested in me as a head coach.
Well, I'm certainly taking the interview. Absolutely. But, again, like Ben Johnson probably could have taken some jobs last year, right? And he didn't really like any of them. Now, in retrospect, Washington gets Jaden Daniels. I bet that job's a lot more appealing right now, right? But maybe he didn't like the ownership or whatever it might be. So, yes, there's the thought process is always there's only 32 of these. So it's hard to turn them down. But I don't know how much more of a cautionary tale you could ask for than the way the New York Jets have operated for the last 15-plus years.
Yes, they're horrible. And I don't know what would attract you to do it, but...
There's only 32 jobs.
Right.
That would be, I mean, seriously, that would be it.
Again, to be if you were his agent, you'd tell him no unless you're not sure you're going to ever get another chance. So then I would jump on it with all the concerns that you had, unless you feel like you could. I mean, it's all about who's your quarterback, right? Isn't that the first thing? Well, who's your owner is the first thing. Who's your GM is the second. They'll determine, the GM especially, will determine your success. And then who's your quarterback?
Might also determine who your quarterback is, exactly.
Right.
So
if you don't have
it
already.
Popped just now, so I thought, you know, I thought it was interesting. It was also interesting that, you know, the Bears had asked for permission to interview Adam Stenovich. They also broke from what they had been doing with
that all surprises their me. Doesn't it surprise you?
No, I mean, again, I think it's pretty clear from both the Bears and from the Jets searches that they're interviewing, I mean, everybody and their brother. So I don't know, you know, ultimately who either of those teams will
hire.
But
when you're the offensive coordinator and the head coach does all the offense, it seems to me historically that's stupid to hire that person.
It has not been not many guys have gotten the job when they weren't at least the offensive coordinator who had play calling duties. You're right. But the paradigm has changed. I mean, you know, Zach Taylor took the Bengals to a Super Bowl, and I'm pretty sure he was only the offensive – he wasn't even the offensive coordinator in L.A. before he got that job. I think he was the quarterback's coach.
Okay.
So I think, you know, the proliferation of the McVay-Shanahan offense and young guys becoming head coaches instead of old crusty guys and quote-unquote retreads has changed the game. So maybe Jeff Hafley, who I think is 43 maybe there's a possibility there. Again, I'm not saying he's getting that job. I'm not saying Mike McCarthy's going to get the Bears job, but I'm hoping Mike McCarthy gets the Bears job. That would make it really, really interesting in a rivalry that I've kind of been hoping would become more relevant.
Yeah, I don't like the idea. I think they can do much worse. They've shown the ability to make terrible hires, and McCarthy's old, but it would still be a good hire. He would give some level of respect. And all I care about is how it makes it for the Green Bay Packers. I have no interest in good stories. We've debated this before. But, yes, the Packers, Jeff Hafley going to the Jets has to be added to the list. The percentage of that would appear pretty low. All right, then let's see. Davante Adams going to the Packers. Is that worthy of a percentage equal to Hafley going to the Jets as a head coach?
Well, I would just put it this way, because I'm hoping to get him to come on with Tausch and me at some point. And he and I traded messages last night. And he had every opportunity during our exchange to say, hey, I'm not coming back to Green Bay. Like, I'm not ruling anything out, and I'm guessing the Jets are going to cut me, but the Packers are not high on my list of places I'd want to go. And because I mentioned the Kay Adams interview, and, you know, he pointed out that that has become, he called it clickbait, but I don't think it's clickbait. I mean, it's interesting stuff that he said on a show. So I if it was something that he wasn't interested in, or at least entertaining the idea of, then he wouldn't say it, right? Like, he wouldn't have talked the way he talked in that conversation with Kay Adams, no relation, about the idea or about the Packers in general or about Jordan Love, unless he took some lessons from Rodgers, who just liked to mess with the media from time to time.
No, I believe he'd like to come back to Green Bay. Tell me if I'm wrong, Jason.
No, I do too, and that's why I'm saying, you know, he could have, obviously he knows that I do a lot of radio and that I certainly write and everything else. I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I guess I'm relatively prominent in the Packers media realm.
You are not relevant, but you are prominent. You're at the top. It's you, Domofsky, and I don't know, no one else is at that level. It's you too.
So my point is that, you know, he certainly would know that if this is not something that he's entertaining, I could easily say, hey, I talked to Davante last night. You know, this is I know there's been a lot of attention paid to the idea of him coming back to Green Bay if the Jets cut him. I can tell you that that's not something that he's considering. He was just talking on that show, and, you know, one thing leads to another. You know how conversations go. And again, he had every opportunity to tell me, no, that's not something I'm interested in. And he didn't. So take that for what it's worth. I believe that he is open to that idea. But that, again, he never said anything the other direction either. Like, hey, start banging the drum for the Packers to bring me back. Because he had that chance to say that in our conversation, and he didn't say that either. So,
yeah, but that's not his style, right?
It's not, right? He's too cool for that. So he doesn't need me to be jabbering about it. So, again, do I think that that would be, you know, how I feel about rooting for the story? It's also one of my favorite guys that I've covered. So
is he too old, though? Do you need a younger, faster?
No, because here's the thing. And I did a story last season about this. All those young guys who are still obviously comparatively young, I think Davante just turned 30. On the day after Christmas, fact check me on that, Pebble. But he's at a different point than where he was even when he was traded to the Raiders, right? He's now, what is this, 3 seasons ago that was? His last season with the Packers was 21.
Pebble, what is he now? 32?
He's 32 now.
Yeah.
32. Wow, even older. So point being, you know, he's not going to command the same type of money, and he's probably in a position where he is still capable of being a one, but he can also be, to these guys what Jordy Nelson was to him, which was a guy who was a number one, who was willing to pass the torch and help in 2017 to get Davante to the next level. And that's always been my beef with Goody, was that Goody told me at the scouting combine in 2018 after they cut Jordy and signed Jimmy Graham, that he thought that if he kept Jordy, it would stunt Devontae's growth as a number one. And this was even after that famous story in Dallas where Rodgers throws a bad pass on a late red zone opportunity to Devontae in the end zone. It's incomplete. Devontae comes back to the huddle and says, "Let's run that again, but throw me a better damn ball." It's Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers says, "Okay." And he throws a better ball and they win the game. And so Devontae already was the one in 2017.
And you believe he'd be a great veteran addition to the locker room.
Right. And I believe that's what Jordy was in the process of in 17, would have continued doing it in 18 had Goody not gotten rid of him and cut him. And I think Devontae could do that for the next 2-3 years. You know, and if they, you know, remember, they got a lot of cap space. They added some really good players in free agency. They've had a pretty good run the last several drafts. 21 wasn't a good draft, but, you know, 22, 23, and 24 look like good drafts. Another good draft. This is a Super Bowl team. And then Devontae gets to add a piece to his Hall of Fame resume that he currently doesn't have.
And is it accurate that he was concerned about how good Jordan Love was, and now that's changed?
Absolutely. But again, and I always do this, and I know for a segment of the fan base that want to believe that Jordan was just destined for greatness in the lineage of Favre Rodgers, he was not very good in 20 and 21 when Devontae's last two seasons were in Green Bay. And, I mean, Devontae was right about him then. The what he was wrong about was that he would develop as much as he has. Again, you don't. If you think that Jordan Love, if you're Goody, even though it'll be hard to do after back-to-back MVPs, but a guy that you really didn't like and really were ready to move on from, that's why you drafted Love in the first place. After back-to-back MVPs, but with the out of them losing that playoff game to San Francisco with the number one seed and Rodgers playing poorly in that game, they had the opportunity, Goody did, to say, "All right, we're gonna send him to Denver." That was all the buzz, and gotten even more for him than the Seahawks got for Russell Wilson. And if Jordan Love was ready, you do that. And again, I know he had won back-to-back MVPs, but Jordan had not shown to that point how good he was going to become. So Goody didn't believe it. Devontae Adams didn't believe it. That's why Goody gave Rodgers the extension that he gave him. And the bottom line is now things have changed. I went from being the guy that would come on your show and say during training camp in 2020 and 2021, "I never see this guy make any wow throws." You never hear me say that anymore. You hear me talk about the wow throws he makes. And that is how – and look, probably a good time to mention what an impact Tom Clements had on him. Tom Clements fixed his mechanics, improved his footwork, improved his throwing motion, taught him the game from the ground up, and was a huge blessing for him in 2022.
So why is he retiring?
Because he's 71 years old, and not everybody wants to work like you do.
He was 70 last year. Come on.
I think
my job is done? I've done it?
I think that's part of it. Okay. I think, you know, he's obviously retired twice before and been coaxed out of retirement, first by Cliff Kingsbury and then by Rodgers/LaFleur. So I think he feels like he's done, you know, not that Jordan's a finished product, but he's done all the things that Jordan needed him to do for him.
I know who should replace him.
If you say Dan Orlovsky, I'm hanging up.
No, whoever Clement says hire, I just go to him. Who do we hire? I mean, who do you think we should hire? We're going to hire him.
Right, and think about it. You know, obviously Clements.
No, I would not do Orlovsky.
I know he's said a few things. I think he said something on McAfee too. But
he has a connection. He has an inside with LaFleur, right? I mean, they're buds.
Yeah, but I would say this, and you know, I'm not the biggest Dan Orlovsky fan, so you can.
Yeah,
say
you just can't move.
I'm not good at forgiveness. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I know. You know, we have you on when you're doing stuff on YouTube and now you're on TV. And anyway, I think Jordan Love is at a pivotal point in his career. I have a hard time believing someone who plays it as safe as Matt LaFleur tends to play it, that he would hire a guy that's currently working in television. Like, I understand he played in the league. I get all that. Believe it or not, I'm not slighting him. I'm sure he knows a lot about quarterbacking.
If he had taken another job first and now you
maybe,
would consider.
But again, he's got Sean Mannion, who was a quarterback in the league, a backup like Dan Orlovsky was. And look, backup quarterbacks are kind of like catchers as managers. Like, look at Doug Peterson, right? And
yeah, it appears they learn a lot of stuff by sitting on the bench.
Right. And so you know, he's got Sean Mannion, who John Schneider and everyone who's come across him with the different teams he played for thought he was eventually going to be an NFL head coach. So you've had him for a year that you added. You've got Connor Lewis, who is really one of LaFleur's absolute favorites on the staff. And then about a month ago, he brought back the previously unemployed after being fired by the Bears and the Raiders, Luke Getsy, who had been the quarterback's coach before Clements and then left to become the Bears offensive coordinator under Eberflus, which opened the door for Clements to come back. Getsy's been around. So you have three guys in-house that all three of them are good candidates. So that, you know, again, my grudges or lack of forgiveness.
No, it should be one of those three. You've just best
you would
explained.
Think you would think so.
Yeah.
Yes, you would think so.
All right, let's see. We dealt with Davante Adams. I mean, we all...
What else you got on your checklist?
Well, no, it's all...
Leadership.
Just, it's all...
Vocal leadership.
I mean, I just need to have a talk with him. I just don't get
I'll send you his number.
Yeah. No, you just tell him, Homer, you don't know the quarterback enough to know that he doesn't want to do it that way. Oh, but I'm going to tell you how you need to communicate with your players. Oh!
You understand, and this is what I didn't get to say to you today, this morning on our program. You understand that being vocal doesn't mean you have to be the yelling, you know, screaming a guy's face, telling him he sucks.
Oh,
guy,
I agree.
Right?
Like, but you understand that he's been a certain way, and he said, I don't like to talk to players that way, and you don't need to tell him how to be. You need to let him be. Like, you wouldn't, if you wanted Tausch and the offensive line to do better, you wouldn't tell Tausch, you know what? You need to talk to the offensive lineman, deciding how you think he should handle. Your problem is too many drop passes or whatever. There are other options to do it in a manner in which he's comfortable with, because he's already told you, and you know he's not comfortable doing this. But you still think that's what we got to tell him to do this.
Well, I think what I would say is that there are ways to be yourself and just slightly tweak the way you go about certain things. Like,
yeah, and let him decide that.
Right, but again, my if I'm going to side with you on anything about this, I would say it was the fact that it was the instantaneous answer that LaFleur gave to the question about where he needs
to take
his next step.
And to act in a manner similar to the guy who was there before him.
Well, I don't think he's asking Rodgers.
No, but that's
I don't think he's asking
Rodgers would talk to players more, right? There's Rodgers. He just picked the way that Rodgers used to do.
But again, the more vocal can be, you know, pointing things out during team meetings and giving him more of a voice to say in front of the room, even if it's say embarrassing to LaFleur, you know, what if we do this instead? Like wanting him to do that sort of thing. Wanting him to,
Jason,
you know,
can I say, don't you think that crossed Jordan Love's mind to this point? They clearly believe enough in him as a person that if he had wanted to do this, he would have done it. But he's chosen not to.
Right, but sometimes to be good at things, you have to step out of your comfort zone, and you need to be challenged a little bit to do things. Just not change who you are, but change the way you do something already to make it a little bit more effective and a little better.
Agree.
And
but who decides that? Not the head coach. Jordan Love decides that. It's done privately, and
no,
he says to Jordan Love.
No. If you're a parent, and I'm really lucky, right? The girls are amazing. I don't take any parenting credit. They have made it so easy, and I know parents who have it way more challenging with challenging kids. I am lucky that I have that. But I can also have the conversation with Madison or with Sydney about, all right,
what if we do, what if you do this way, and maybe it's more effective? Like when she has had, you know, the typical girl drama, I love talking it out with her. And we always talk about how communication can usually solve just about anything. So, and
would
I
you
use
ever
my
change
own...
your approach if you realized it didn't serve her well because she's not you?
Sure.
Now, Jordan Love is not how the same age as your daughter. He's a $50 million quarterback that you've already been around with a number of years.
I understand that. Okay. But I think Matt LaFleur can have the kind of conversation of, all right, well, here's what you're doing. What if you tried it this way? And it's not, again, screaming and yelling and being someone you're not. And so I can just say, and again, I understand he's an NFL quarterback, not a 13-year-old basketball, volleyball, soccer, gymnastics, whatever. But I do think that Matt LaFleur has the relationship. To me, the issue here, if there is an issue, which I don't really think there is, but the one point that I would give you is saying it out loud to all of us makes it a talking point. And so that, I would say, was maybe a misstep. But the idea of expecting him to be more vocal in a way that he's comfortable is not unreasonable.
Okay.
And we can agree to disagree, but that's what I think.
Very good. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. Tim Van Vorn isn't next, but he's soon. I am next.